shoes. It's Jesus in the everyday, me and you. The good news in shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is Dr. Norris Weir, inviting you to get on board the Caribbean Gospel Train every Saturday night at 8 p.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM. The Caribbean Gospel Train, for the ride of your life.
WCNO's broadcast day is underwritten by Krause and Crane Incorporated, celebrating 50 years of air conditioning service to the Martin County area. Since 1957, Krause and Crane certified technicians have serviced all makes and models of air conditioners and provides an energy savings agreement for any commercial or residential need. Krause and Crane, the service and replacement specialist with over 50 years of experience, is available 24 hours for emergency service at 287-1227.
The Jesus of the Scriptures would not challenge the Scriptures or contradict the Scriptures and supplant the Scriptures and elevate a personal experience over the Scriptures.
Welcome to Capturing His Conscience with Pastor Bernard King, Sr. Pastor Bernard is Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Bible Fellowship in Delray Beach, Florida. The focus of our ministry is to be more than ordinary servants for an extraordinary God. This is your host, Tom Moon. In today's program, we're going to continue a topical series that will encourage us to maintain a biblical mindset in the coming year. Pastor Bernard will be emphasizing that obedience to the Scripture is necessary for us to enjoy a close relationship with God. Pastor Bernard will be discussing several passages of Scripture in today's message, beginning with 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. We are going to start with Pastor Bernard's reading of Scripture. Now here's Pastor Bernard with the continuation of Obedience Invites the Infinite God to Show Up in Your Life, Part 2.
1 John 4, 1 through 6. 1 John 4, 1 through 6. You got the text, say amen. Beloved, so we know he's talking to Christians. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits where they are God, because many, many false prophets are going out into the world. That word prophet, you can also put false teachers. Christian celebrities, so-called Christian celebrity superstars, read their books, listen what they're saying. You will see that what they're teaching is not lining up with the Word of God. Even today, in John's day and in the 21st century, many false prophets are going out into the world, so they hear. Okay, help us out, John, verse 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. This is how you know, Cornerstone Bible Fellowship. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already in the world. Pause for a second. Now, there are groups out there that say, Jesus Christ has come, but you got to do your homework. You got to make sure you're in the spirit to say, what Jesus are you talking about? Because if you're speaking to our Catholic friends, you know their Jesus is not the Jesus in your Bible. Their Jesus is crucified every Mass over and over and over again. Their Jesus has been reduced to the Eucharist. And if you're talking to some of our Jewish friends, they are still looking for the Messiah. So they're not talking about the same Jesus. The Muslims are not talking about the same Jesus. Make sure you talk about the Jesus of the Scriptures, that he is God, Almighty God, virgin born. He is God in the flesh, God incarnate, who came on planet Earth to die for our sins. And he resurrected on the third day. And he lives forevermore, and he's alive today. That church might be dead, but Jesus is alive today. Make sure it's the Jesus that we preach is the Jesus that encompasses the gospel, because there's a lot of people don't have the right Jesus today. That's another side. That's another spirit. The kind of Jesus that would be consistent with the word of God. Jesus, I got to say this with all due respect, Jesus would not ordain nor support same-sex marriage in the name of love. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. Because the Jesus you want to create, you're asking him to deviate from his character. And he said, I always do those things that please my Father. He is still pleasing the Father. The Jesus of the Scriptures would not challenge the Scriptures or contradict the Scriptures and supplant the Scriptures and elevate a personal experience over the Scriptures. That's not the Jesus today. We must preach the Jesus that referenced the Old Testament when it came down to divorce, referenced the Old Testament when it came down to marriage, referenced the Old Testament when it came down to his coming. Make sure you got the right Jesus. Verse 4 now, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world, that he needs to be Jesus. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of closing point. There's an ecumenical, brand new umbrella that's being set up to embrace the Buddhist, the Hindu, to embrace the unconverted Jew, to embrace all denominations, all in the name of global peace, all in the name of God, all coming together, and Jesus is not invited. There are false teachers that are pushing personal elevation and prosperity and health and don't want to comment on words that Jesus would use, like sin and hell. They don't want those words anymore because they're too offensive. Point is that false teachers are popular and well received by the world because, like the false prophets in the Old Testament, they tell people what they want to hear. There's a very famous pastor out there in Houston. He's getting ready to come on NBC, a national radio or television program on Sunday mornings. He's getting ready to start his message will be broadcast on NBC. Do you know the programming that NBC produces? And yet he's embraced. Be careful. Be careful when the world says you like us. Be careful when the world says you can identify with us. We're on the same page. Wrong. That's the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Because the Bible says the world does not receive our convictions. The world don't understand why they want to say we are homophobic, we are unloving, we are arrogant, we are prideful. Who are you Christians to think that you have the monopoly on truth? You see, the world loved their own. John is warning us. You go out there on your workplace, you go to your family functions, you get out there in public and you start speaking the truth about Jesus, you start teaching the Scriptures, here's what's going to happen. When you faithfully teach and preach God's word, you won't win any popularity contest. You won't be celebrated by an opinion poll. Here's the truth. People do not, as a matter of fact, they hate you making them accountable for their behavior. People do not want to be called out about your sin. Matter of fact, look at yourself. When people call you out about your sin, how you feel about it? That's right. Initially, most of us do not say, oh, thank you for kissing me with that conviction, brother. Thank you for telling me. I mean, you just cut me so deep. You hurt me, man. Praise the Lord. You hurt me. But the truth is, real love says you're living a life that doesn't line up with God. You know what God has said about purity? You know what God has said about finances. You know what God has said about relationships. You know what God has said when it comes down to the protocol and your commitment and your time and your energy, everything about you. And by the way, you know what God has said to you, that who you belong to. You do not belong to yourself. You belong to Almighty God. When you start telling people that they got to stop doing life, living a lifestyle that don't line up with God, they're not going to be too happy about it. I believe today's churches are too filled up with what I call people. Today's churches are filled up with people that I call are fixated with the feel-good doctrine. I want some feel-good, Pastor. Fixated with the feel-good doctrine. Just make me feel good. Don't tell me how bad I am. Don't tell me my sin. Repentance? No. Hold, like Burger King, hold a pickle, hold a lettuce, special orders don't upset us. No, hold a judgment. Hold accountability. Don't want that. That will upset me, Pastor. I thought you were my friend, they say. No, I'm not your friend. There's a friend that's the closest to the brother. That's Jesus Christ. Whether it's my wife, or if a wife speaking to a husband, or if I'm speaking to my children, and if you got to speak to a pastor, you come and tell the truth. No matter what it costs. See, those people that fixated with the feel-good doctrine, they're infected with itchy ears. A disease was started in the heart. For homework, look at it. 2 Timothy chapter, write it down. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 to 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 to 4. 2 Timothy 4, 3 to 4. Write that down for homework, and you see people that got the itchy ears disease, and it starts from the heart. Going back to John, go back to John 14. Again, Jesus emphasized, can you trust the word of Jesus, church? Again, Jesus said, the world is not going to receive you. They're not going to identify with you. They can't connect with you. You'll always be incongruent with the world. You're not going to always get along. There is no Rodney King doctrine in the Bible. Can we all get along? There's cases when we can't. Is that all right, church? There's going to be a time when you can't get along with. You can't get along with that, those relatives. You can't get along with some of those children. You can't get along with those co-workers. It's not that you are deliberately doing so, but that you have a comforter. You have a reality called God. You belong to God. He lives in you. And what did they do to Jesus? And you think they're not going to do that to you? I close with this thought, then we'll get to the next point. It's interesting to note that when you act or think like the world, when you act or think like the world, everybody with me? When you act and think like the world, you're guaranteed to experience the following. You're guaranteed to experience the following. Because again, we're talking about why I don't see God, but I believe it's because you're acting and thinking like the world. Number one, you can't see God working in your life when you're being worldly. You don't see God, you only see your problem. You only see your pain. You only see your setback. You only see what you're not getting. You're too busy looking at and being jealous about what other people have. That's why you can't see God working in your life when you're thinking worldly. You're so insecure. You're so arrogant. You're so prejudiced and biased. You're so short-sighted. You can't see. Two, you are separated from the mind of Christ. When you're thinking worldly, you separate, you have forfeited your capacity to be what God wants you to be. You are thinking not with the mind of Christ. You think with the mind of the world. And because you're thinking with the mind of the world, number three, you suspend God as the solution to your problem. You suspend God as the solution to your problem. Don't see God working. Why not? Because your mind is not where it's supposed to be. And your mind is not where it's supposed to be. You're going to go to the world for your answers. You can go to the world to solve your family crisis. You can go to the world to solve your financial situation. You can go to the world to help you with why we're having these issues in church. Be careful. You suspend God as a solution to your problem. And when you suspend God as a solution to your problems, number four, you lean to your own understanding. My instincts, my intelligence, and my feelings. So my personal natural instincts, instinctively based off my history, how I interact, how I feel, how I think, my feelings and my intelligence, Finally, number five, when you thinking worldly, number one, you don't see God work in your life. You're separated from the mind of Christ. You suspend God as a solution to your problems. You lean to your own understanding. And number five, it will always take you out the will of God. You're always out of the will of God. Not only is that a detrimental place to be, that's a dangerous place to be. When you're outside the will of God, the world is already there. But as a Christian, when you are outside the will of God, that's a dangerous place to be. Too many of us not treating what we need to treat, and that's the word of God. Go back to the scriptures. Now, I need to go back to John. Go back to John real quickly. Gospel of John, John chapter 14. I want to comment on verse 18 and 24. John chapter 14. The world can't receive it. Jesus said, I live in you. My spirit lives in you. And then he goes on to say in verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. If that's encouraging, say amen. John 14, 18, Jesus said, I won't leave you comfortless. I will come to you. How many of you guys believe Jesus will come to us? Now, I'm going to qualify this. He ain't coming in your bedroom window and sit by your bed and say, hello, I'm Jesus. But there are some people that says they saw Jesus and he talked to them and he met them and did these things. Let me put some caution on that. You just removed the Holy Spirit from his job. I thought it was the Holy Spirit that took the ministry, that took the place of Jesus. I thought it was the Holy Spirit that take me back to the scriptures, and the Holy Spirit won't contradict the scriptures. And there are people preaching, proponents saying, and teaching things that are not consistent with the word of God when it comes down to Jesus. It's the Spirit's job. And the people debate, well, when did Jesus, what do you mean by verse 18, Pastor? When will I come to you? When will that happen? Some people refer this to the resurrection of Jesus, while others see the promise of the second coming. But if you read the context, you will see that he's talking about Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, because the Holy Spirit's going to come and live in us. So if the Holy Spirit is living in me and rules in me, why do I need a physical manifestation of Jesus to take him from his lofty throne so he can make a special trip just for me? You're not too special. You're not greater than the scriptures. Don't you know the devil knows that, hey, I'm going to create a scenario where they think it's Jesus. I'm going to counterfeit this thing. And you write a whole bunch of books, start schools and universities, and you start teaching things that don't line up with God. Jesus lives in us by way of the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Is some of Jesus in you or all of Jesus in you? All of him. And the Spirit identified their own children. Verse 21 again. Verse 21 tells us, you got my commandments, Cornerstone Bible Fellowship. Keep them and do them. He that love me and he that love me shall be loved my Father. I will love him. And again, I will show up in your life. I will manifest myself to you. But did you notice again that the emphasis on verse 21 is behavior again? It's behavior. A person does not show that the Holy Spirit lives in them or show up in their life or manifest in their life because of some bizarre behavior or belief. There's all types from that church, different churches, when the Toronto Blessing, where they were on their knees barking arr, 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 like dogs. Or they laughing. Where do you see that in the Bible? Somebody tell me. And if it's not there, then why do we teach it? If it's not there, why are you buying the books? If it's not there, why are you going to the churches? The Holy Spirit would not act. If, like I said, in my own personal experience, And they used to tell me that the Holy Spirit has hit that person. And I was 5. When I saw the Holy Spirit show up, I wanted nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. Because I saw people doing things with their head and they're shaking their head or they're falling down and throwing a cloth on them. Let me ask you something. When the Holy Spirit baptized Jesus, it descended on him like a dove. He didn't start hissing like a snake and fall down. He was a gentleman. It was gentle. It wasn't chaotic. It wasn't crazy. It wasn't bizarre behavior. Be careful what you're watching, folks. You get thousands of people. A man take a towel out and he waves it and the whole row falls down. And they say that's the Holy Spirit. You can keep that spirit. Because there's a spirit of truth and then there's a spirit of error. Amen? We must obey. God, well, how do I know you got the Holy Ghost? Because you got to be speaking. How you living? Do you obey the commandments consistently? You're not perfect, but there's a consistency where you're following God's scriptures and his command. It's essential for the body of Christ, though, before I move to my next scripture, it's essential that the body of Christ, that we promote a balance in church when it comes down to the Holy Spirit. Making too much of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit leads to mysticism. Making too less of the Holy Spirit leads to legalism. It's only when we got a balanced biblical perspective that we can fall into unity. Let's move to 2 Kings now. Now that we understand about the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit helps us to see God, and he helps us to manifest and occupy a mindset we can experience God. So let's move to this life of where the Holy... I'm impressed with these Old Testament people, let me tell you. See, they didn't have the Holy Spirit like we have the Holy Spirit. He wasn't living in them. There was no Pentecost. And I'm going to go to a place where there was no Ten Commandments. There was no Ten Commandments. There was no law. They just had to listen and hear what the prophet said by faith. Everybody say obedience. A destitute widow witnessed God showing up in her life and showing out in her life because she paid a lot of money, because she said a specific prayer. No, because of her obedience. 2 Kings 4:1-7. Now that cry... a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets of Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Pause for a second. In that day, it was normal. It was part of the situation where if you couldn't pay your bills, you couldn't pay the creditor would come in and take your sons and your daughters as a payment. And here's this girl, loving God, reminding the prophet that, hey, my husband was in your school. My husband was with you, and you know he was God-fearing, and you know that he loves God. Here I am destitute. He is dead. Now, in that day, you married to a prophet. A lot of times, you were poor. You didn't have a palace. You didn't have a little jet. You were poor. And Elijah, look at his response. He immediately said, what shall I do for you? Tell me. He said, well, all the thing I got is this. It's a little thing of oil, verse 3. Then he said, go borrow these vessels abroad, all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. Pause. Now she could have said, now that don't make any sense, Elijah. I don't have pots. And there are too many people still in poverty, not all of them, but there are people, when you give them direction and give them instructions and you show them how to get out of that situation, they don't want it. This lady could say, I thought you'd do something different, Elisha. Like, give me the money right now. People like, I want to see the green right now. No, I'm not going to give you the money right now. You got to take some steps. What was he doing? Getting her. Demonstrate obedience. Get her to demonstrate faith. I said, okay, he worked with my husband. He's a man of God. This may not make sense to me, but I'm going to do what he's asked me to do. So what do we get? Verse 5, so when she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay the debt, and live thou and thy children and the rest. I did what the man of God said. And I got this and I got these pots filled. Oh my, I got money to pay off my debt. I got money to live. Why? Why did God show up in your life, Miss Widow? If I could ask you, what happened? What did you do different? You were poor and destitute. She said, I obeyed the man of God. God is asking some of you guys to obey him right now. It's interesting that he said, go get a number of pots. I will submit to you, that might be a parallel to one's faith. Some of us, I got two pots, Jesus, would that work? I got two little pots, I'm going to get five pots. We don't know how many, but she'd have got 30, 50, 100, who knows how many vessels that she's gotten. How much more oil, how much more blessing she would have had in her life. And God is asking us to walk in faith and obey him. Don't be giving him one pot. Don't be giving him a couple. Say, God, I'm going to give it to you all. Give you my money, give you my resources, give you my time. I'm going to do whatever you ask me to do. I know you're going to show up in my life. Now, let me go to another guy where God showed up in our time remaining. Turn your Bible to Genesis. See, that story demonstrates God is faithful to care for those who are faithful to him, who live for him, who trust him and obey him, just like that widow did. Well, there was another guy. This one really going to grab you. His name is Abraham. Abraham's obedience put him in a position to see God show up and show out in his life as well. Genesis 22, 10 through 14. Background. Now, Abraham and Sarah did not have a child that they for them own between the both of them. And he was 100 and she was 99, and that just didn't make sense biologically. The time has passed. You know, she was no more ministrating. She was no more in a capacity to have children. But then the angel said, hey, you're going to have a child. And she laughed earlier. But it came to that time where that reality happened that she had a child. And you think they didn't love that miracle baby? Because I want you not to miss. Don't miss what God is going to do in this man's life. And especially some of us, if you got relational issues or you got challenges in your life right now, and God, it seems like he's asking you to do the most hardest thing. He's asking you to do something that you think is not fair, it's not right, that God doesn't understand the situation, but God is asking you to be obedient about a situation right now, and you're saying, but God! You don't see but God with Abraham.
We thank you for joining us today for the continuation of Pastor Bernard's message, Obedience Invites the Infinite God to Show Up in Your Life, Part 2. In today's message, Pastor Bernard challenged us regarding our interpretation of the Holy Spirit. We must be sure that our view of the Holy Spirit's character and nature is consistent with the Scriptures. The presence of the Holy Spirit is not exemplified by the manifestation of strange behavior. Instead, the Holy Spirit provides us with the power to obey the Word of God. Are you displaying the power of the Holy Spirit in your life by living in a manner that is obedient to the Scriptures? To learn more about a right relationship with God, please visit our website at cbfdelray.org or contact our office at 561-243-9127. We'd love to hear from you. We invite you to join us for our next program on Saturday at 1 p.m. Capturing His Conscience is a ministry of Cornerstone Bible Fellowship in Delray Beach, Florida. Until next time, this is Tom Moon encouraging you to be more than an ordinary servant for an extraordinary God.